Mostly Talk. Broadcasting from the world famous haunted winery here in Warren, Michigan. This is Ghostly Talk on December 10th, 2006.
Ghostly Talk is independently produced every Sunday night from 6 p.m. to 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Converse about all things paranormal. For more info, go to www.ghostlytalk.com.
Tonight, PMH Atwater comes to the show to discuss her new book, Beyond the Indigo Children, The New Children and the Coming of the Fifth World. We will then be joined by psychic medium C.J. Sellers to discuss her work.
Feels like we have not been here in like forever for some reason.
I know I missed many weeks or whatever, but how many weeks did you miss though? Well, I know I wasn't here last week.
Yeah,
so we didn't even have a show.
We decided to take last weekend off because you were out of town, right?
And then I think I was here the week before that, and then a couple weeks before that I was not.
Yeah.
Keith had to fill in for me. And
You haven't been here in a while.
Evidently he did a remarkable job.
You haven't been here in forever, man.
And I'm jealous.
Job
that he can do and I miss out. But yeah, I know, I do all these all this running around. What can I say?
You have been on the road a lot.
I have.
It's been a couple of crazy weeks here, just trying to keep everything running and stuff like that.
Yeah,
and you know, a lot of stuff's coming up here. I'm still trying.
You're reeling from this past weekend,
we're out of it. Let's start off like we normally do.
Well, first of all, I'd rather instead of starting off like we normally do, I want to say this is a special day. This is December 10th. And it's a birthday. It's actually a first birthday that somebody close to my family is no longer here.
Oh, really?
And we went to her funeral several weekends ago, a couple weekends ago. And I just want to just take a moment and remember Carol Morgan.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay. Excellent. We've had a lot of, it's been a very, like we were saying a second ago, it's been very busy the last couple weeks here, and we've been trying to keep it together. It's been kind of tough, man. We're here. Holiday season's in full roll. We did some work this weekend, actually, at the Fenton House again.
Yep, that was
pretty cool.
We went up to Fenton Hotel. Before that, I was out at...
you were in North Carolina.
In North Carolina, and quite a night of, a couple nights of shows in a row. I was with, of course, the absolutely... it was insane. Okay?
Yeah.
We were at the Twin Lakes Lodge Bed and Breakfast,
mm-hmm.
and we got to do a little bit of ghost hunting on the Friday night,
mm-hmm.
and then Saturday night was quite amazing.
Mm-hmm.
Throughout all of it, we also were on programs. We were on radio shows,
doing shows left and right all over the place.
Yeah,
it's been so crazy.
We broadcast.
We spent more time on other people's shows than I think we have on our own. But it's always fun. We like to thank all those guys who were nice enough. They wanted to come talk to them about whatever and stuff like that. So hey, say hello to everybody. I don't remember any of them right now because my brain is not quite where it should be to do this show tonight.
You know what I notice on a lot of shows?
What's that?
When you're a guest and you call in,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yeah.
They play music or they play, you know, breaks or whatever,
mm-hmm.
during their breaks. They play breaks.
Yeah.
And you don't get to interact with the hosts during the breaks. You're just on hold.
Well, yeah, I noticed that too. And I'm like, hey, man, you know, I like to talk to people on break and stuff like that just to, you know, just to kind of see where we want to go with our conversation if we're in the middle of it or where we're going to go if we haven't talked to them just yet.
Right.
Just to kind of, because sometimes, I mean, a lot of times with the show here, we like to talk to the people we have on the show way beforehand, you know, maybe a few days, maybe a week beforehand, and go, okay, you know, hey, just so you know our voices when we call you, you know, just to kind of like, just an icebreaker to say hello and just let them know that we're real people.
Right.
Yeah, it's happened a couple of times where we're just like, okay, where did everybody go? What's going on? Did the phone break? Did my phone go down? What happened here? That's how other people do things. But hey, it's a lot of fun to do that. One thing I want to note also, Bonnie is not here today again.
No, she's not.
She actually had surgery this week. She had
her gallbladder
removed. So I think anybody would consider that a traumatizing experience. And she called about an hour before the show here tonight and said, hey, you know what? I'm going to take the night off. I'm really burned out. I need to sleep. I need to relax. So she'll be back next week, though, full force, I think, finally.
I think so, because I think it's somebody had told her it was a 2-week or so turnaround time. And
well, it's been a couple of rough weeks for her, you know, with the whole surgery thing and all that stuff. So we're pushing for her. She should be back next week, though, I think, for sure. But in her absence, we have the mighty Tom sitting here, actually.
Dun, dun, dun.
Say hi, Tom.
Yeah, everybody's asking, who's Tom? Who's in the chat room?
Are you GT Tom in there? Did you do
no,
GT
no.
Tom? Is it the Tom?
Tom, not my name.
Oh,
Tom.
then that way, you're like kind of undercover, because we always go with GT at the beginning.
Right.
And then that way, people know, but now it's like, who's on from the studio?
I introduced myself at the beginning, though. I just said,
oh, okay.
Tom is standing in for Bonnie tonight.
How's the chat room going?
It's going good.
If you go to, if you're listening to the live broadcast, a lot of people listen to the live broadcast, a lot of people listen to podcasts.
Mm.
But if you're listening to the live broadcast on Sundays from 6 p.m. till 9 p.m., if you go to our website, www.ghostlytalk.com, there's a live chat link on the left.
Yeah, on the left side right there, like, towards the top of the page, you'll see that.
And we always have somebody in there.
Yeah, always somebody in there to keep things. We used to be in there, but it was just too hard to try to talk to people and try to do the show at the same time. So
right.
Thankfully, we have other friends that are willing to do that for us while we kind of try to keep our train of thought, which we're not doing too good of a job tonight.
What train of thought?
What train of thought tonight, man? I don't know what's going on.
I have to talk about Twin Lakes Lodge.
Talk about
it. Just a little
bit. Talk about
it. Last weekend, we missed the show because I went out to Twin Lakes Lodge all by myself. I drove all by myself. There were other people meeting us there. But I ended up driving 12 hours from Detroit, as they say it down there, because I talked to Dr. Al Proffitt.
Uh-huh.
And he goes, where are you from? And I'm like, Detroit. And he goes, oh, Detroit. And I'm like, no, it's really Detroit. But,
yeah.
You know, he's like, yeah, that's what I said, Detroit. And I'm like, okay. But it was absolutely amazing because I drove the 12 hours by myself, drove it back on Sunday.
Yeah.
It was so worth it. It was worth every mile because when I got there, the Twin Lakes Lodge, it was Jay Scott, of course, and Trent from World of the Unexplained. Dr. Al Proffitt was there, and of course, the incredible, the only like main name in paranormal that's left, right? That really is pushing, moving, doing stuff.
Yeah.
Every single weekend, John Zaffis was there.
Yeah.
He is a mover and a shaker. He is absolutely incredible, and I can't tell you how much I learned.
Mm-hmm.
That weekend from him, just by hanging out with him and ghost hunting with him a little bit. It was a huge learning experience. I've been doing this for, 6 years now?
Yeah, yeah.
6 or 7. And I've been talking. How many people do we talk to? 4 a week? I mean, four, you know, paranormal people.
Yeah, yeah.
And 3, 4, 5, and plus whatever we email or talk on the phone with. And in, 48 hours or so, I learned a classroom can't teach you this stuff. It was all just incredible.
A lot of things, I think, you know, people try to put you through these classes to learn stuff. I mean, with anything, you know. You go and you read the books and you read the stories and you do all the field work or whatever you want to call it. But really, when you're put in a situation like that, I mean, something like this, you just have to learn it on the spot. You know?
Yeah.
It's nothing you're going to be able to learn.
Some of it, definitely.
Well, from what the stories you told me about the weekend, it's like, okay, now, this isn't something you're going to read anywhere. This isn't something you're going to see in a book
It
anywhere.
Is experience. His experience showed. And there were people there whose inexperience showed, including my own.
Mm-hmm.
And it was incredible because the experience. And you know what? That actually ties in with who's coming up because we're only going to be talking for half an hour amongst ourselves, and we're bringing on two very experienced folks.
Yeah.
And
well, yeah, it's going to be kind of a surprise, too.
It's a surprise?
Well, yeah, yeah.
Well, is
was that in the memo?
I don't think I put that. I think I put that in our notes.
I just got it as a normal thing. But we do have surprise guests coming up. Then
we've been having that happen a lot lately because we've been getting these fly calls, especially from a couple of these guys that are coming on later. And I'm like, yeah, come on, we got half an hour here to blow. Come on, you know.
Cool.
So it's kind of a surprise.
But
guest, you know,
that's another bunch of folks whose experience shows. And if you get the time or the opportunity to go on any event with any of these folks who have been on Ghostly Talk, who have even folks who haven't been on Ghostly Talk, the people who've been doing this for years, you will learn something that weekend that you just cannot, you can't take a class for, you can't read a book for, you just can't get that kind of stuff. And that's what last weekend meant to me, was I got experience that I needed. And it's about time. I mean, after 6-7 years, I needed some experience, and I got experience that I needed, and will hopefully, you know, add it to my arsenal for future investigations.
Exactly. Did you want to tell that story, or did you think you don't want to tell that story?
I don't want to tell the story.
I wasn't 100% sure if you wanted to, but that's cool.
I would like to, but now is not the time.
Okay.
There will be a time when that story is going to be told, but right now that is not time to tell the story.
All
right.
That's cool. Was there anything you wanted to talk about from that weekend?
Yeah, the place is haunted. Let's put it that way. It's the Twin Lakes Lodge bed and breakfast. And if you go to the Twin Lakes Lodge, I think it's .com. But you have to put the in front.
The Twin Lakes Lodge.com.
The owners are fabulous people, and they really care about what they do. And what they are bed and breakfast owners. And the place is gorgeous.
Mm-hmm.
It's right around the corner from a mall, a huge mall, but you would never, ever know it. They found the location. It's in Greensboro, North Carolina.
North Carolina. Mm-hmm.
And it's right around the corner from a mall and a shopping area, and you would never know it because it when you're there, it really does seem like you are relaxed, secluded, away from the daily grind of life, yet you hop in your car, you go a quarter mile.
And you're at a mecca of consumerism right there.
Right. Yeah, it's exactly. Just like that. So you've got it all right there at the Twin Lakes Lodge. And they really do care about this. This is where the fellow who wrote The Devil's Tramping Ground.
Mm-hmm.
John Harden wrote The Devil's Tramping Ground. He also wrote The Tar Heel Ghosts, or the Tar Heel Ghost Story, something about the Tar Heel Ghosts, okay?
Mm-hmm.
I believe I've read the one about the Tar Heel one. I don't think I read Devil's Tramping Ground. I want to read them both now, again. One of them again, and then the other one for the first time, because this is where John Harden lived and worked. After he was a PR guy there in North Carolina.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what he did, you know, for his day job, for his work. And then he collected these ghost stories and put them together in a book, or in a couple books now. And he lived there, and that was his house.
Oh, wow.
And when I was sitting there up late at night, you know, browsing either the internet or through those books or through the many different things there to do and see, I wondered, you know, did he sit there with a typewriter pounding these out, like, right here where I am, like, existing at the moment?
Yeah.
I it was just so interesting, you know. And did he, like, he obviously, you know, stayed on the property. I don't know if it was the building that I was in, but did he, like, stay up till 2, 3, 4 in the morning like I do and think about ghost stories? You know, it's just such a fantastic place. John Harden's The Devil's Tramping Ground and The Tar Heel Ghosts, or something
awesome.
Tar Heeled in it. Both those books were written, I hope, right there on the property. I don't know. At least he thought about them there.
Yeah.
And what an interesting tie-in to have then a haunted bed and breakfast. And they had no idea that it was haunted until their guests started telling them things.
Well, do we have any idea why the place was haunted? Did Jay Scott or anybody tell you the reasons this place was haunted? Because, I mean, that's one thing I haven't heard, is a story of what may have happened in this location. Am I quizzing you?
There's certain things that I want to say and certain things that I don't, and I'd rather not say anything
okay.
right now.
All right.
There there's some in the most intriguing is we did have an intuitive lady there, and she was under the impression, or she got the impression, I should say, that nearby or on the property or on the land or near this land, there was a they don't call them farmhouses. Not manor houses, not farmhouses. Plantation houses, right?
Right.
And there was a plantation, and some of the ghosts from this former plantation have, for some reason, picked that area to be. And so they hang around there. So very interesting stuff. There's also some stuff about the lakes. I mean, they do call it Twin Lakes Lodge.
Mm-hmm.
So one haunting that we surmised over the weekend deals with the lakes. It turns out it's, even though they call it Twin Lakes Lodge and the road is Twin Lakes Road or something, there's only one lake. There used to be two, but one of them drained and got filled in. So it's a little misleading, the Twin Lakes, name, but it, you know, it's explainable. But it was the other lake, the one that got filled in. That's the one that there's some interesting happenings go on with that. And so it's a ghostly happenings, or ghostly origins, I should say, with that lake. So there's a couple interesting stories there, but I don't really want to get into it right now. It's not the time.
Okay. I understand that. I know you were gone. We just decided to take the weekend off. Last weekend, I said, okay, you know what?
Must be nice.
It's very rare that I do that, though.
I usually
going to be like, okay, let's do something. Let's have something going on. But I needed a weekend just to kind of, like, lay back and hide. So that's kind of what I did all weekend, was just hide. And, like, I actually hid in Amber's apartment all weekend. And literally didn't come out of the house on Saturday. Did not come out of the house on Saturday. I woke up with Amber last Saturday, because she had to work at 8 o'clock in the morning, or 9 o'clock. She was up at 8 to go to work. I woke up with her and pretty much moved from the bed to the couch. I literally grabbed a blanket from the bed and went straight to the couch and watched Animal Planet, like, all day long, I think.
Wow.
That's all I did. I'm like, okay, I needed this. I'm just going to lay here and do nothing.
Well, while you were doing that, guess who I got to talk to briefly? I only talked to him for, like, 10, maybe even 5 minutes.
Who was that?
Joshua P. Warren.
You know what? And we talked about him yesterday a little bit, too. He came up in conversation.
Isn't that interesting how Joshua P. Warren's name is coming up? But it's one of them things, you know.
Well, yeah, you know,
synchronicity thing.
Well, yeah, we talked. We were at dinner yesterday. We were all talking. His name came up. Wonderful guy. Everybody I've ever talked to has had nothing but wonderful things to say.
Well,
about
we
him.
Were on his
we
show.
We were.
Saturday.
You were on. There,
I'm
yeah.
on every show. Yeah, I go everywhere.
You were on his show. I know.
For 5 minutes.
No, okay. Cool.
He's like, so what are you doing there?
Sleeping.
And I'm like, well, you know, I'm just hanging out.
Yeah. Well, I just woke up from a half an hour nap, and I'm going to go get a bite to eat now. And I think I'm going to go back to get another nap after that, and then I might do a little ghost hunting later. That's probably what my answer would have been for that, most likely. Well, no, I've heard.
First, I'm going to relax. And then after that, I'll relax some more.
What is the name of his show? I always forget.
Speaking of Strange.
Speaking of Strange, yeah. I've heard his show, actually, a couple times, and I know everybody I've talked to has said nothing but great things to say about Joshua P. Warren.
Oh, yeah.
So hello,
amazing,
Joshua.
Amazing, amazing
big hello
show.
Out to Joshua. We don't really know him, but hey.
Well, cool. He evidently works with Al Proffitt or some of the folks who were there. I don't know the intertwinings, but they all seem to know each other. So he was actually, his show was covering a lot of our ghost hunt fairly live. I mean, you know, people would do something and then run back to the headphones and, you know, tell him. it was really, really interesting. It was really cool. It was like a ghost hunt live on the radio.
Well,
a little bit.
And that was what the idea was.
Yeah.
That's what Jay Scott wanted to do with that from World of the Unknown.
And we did it.
So I'm glad you guys were able to do that and pull it off. That's
really
cool. One thing I want to talk about in the future here.
Uh-oh.
Well, later this month.
Can I get a memo? I'm being handed a memo.
Well, that sounds familiar.
Yes, it does, doesn't it?
That paper rustling sounds familiar.
Wait a minute. I've heard that before. Where did I hear that? What about the future?
Oh, boy. Okay, let's move on. We're moving on.
What about the future?
Okay. Basically, what I was going to let people know, if you go to the website, www.ghostlytalk.com.
Hey, I've been there.
Yeah. It's a cool site. You should check it out.
Yeah, I like it.
we get the new schedule up, obviously, for December here. And you'll notice the last 2 weeks of this month, along with the last week.
Oh, I noticed
that. You know, how crazy is this? But it's going to be even worse next year, too, when you think about it, right?
Yeah.
But this year is bad enough. February 24th, Christmas Eve, it lands on a Sunday.
Right. Christmas Eve is on a
Christmas
Sunday.
Christmas Eve is on a Sunday. And then January 31st, I'm sorry,
Hiccup.
Excuse me. December 31st is on a Sunday also.
So both Sundays are
Thought long and hard about this, and I'm thinking, you know what?
New Year's Eve and Christmas
Eve.
Yeah,
how are we really going to want to come in here, or are we going to be able to come in here? Because we're probably going to go with our families. Right?
I have to say, Christmas Eve, there's a 0% chance that I'll be available.
Yeah,
for
and same here, because we're usually with our families.
With our family.
I'm with my families on those days. Yeah. So, unfortunately, we're not
New Year's Eve, however, I'll do anything. But you're right. I physically will not be in the Detroit metro area
New
Year's Eve. I will be out of town. So,
yeah, so
because I never stay in town anymore.
Yeah, you're always gone.
Yeah.
But basically, I just want to give everybody the heads up on the air here, too, because sometimes people don't even look at that panel on the site. They just listen and they
right.
learn what's going on. So I'll
tell
you here.
Heads up, you guys. No show.
Well, yeah, we're going to have a show next week.
New Year's Eve.
Yeah, we're going to have a show next week.
Two shows,
technically. Yeah, we're going to have a show, you know, a regularly scheduled show. And then we're going to have our monthly update from Ron and John on their work.
Which is
a
hoot. I really, really enjoy it. And I learn something every time. And
that's
the thing.
Hoot.
Always learn. And
yeah. So we're going to do that on the 19th. And that'll be our last broadcast
of
2006. That'll be the end. We'll be done.
Like that.
It kind of bums me out, too. But you know what? I mean, unless you want to do some special shows, like in between Christmas and New Year's or before that or whatever.
I'm not going to be in town.
Yeah, you're going to be gone. So, I mean, that's basically going to be our last broadcast this year. And,
yeah.
And unfortunately, the same thing's going to happen next year, too, I think. Because it'll be on Christmas and on New Year's Day.
Mm-hmm.
New Year's Day's a little different, though. New Year's Day really isn't that big of a deal.
New Year's Day is not a hot day.
Yeah.
It's more like hangovers.
It's like,
stuff.
Yeah, so we could probably crawl in here and try to,
like
girdle our way through 3 hours of show. Yeah.
I've got a way to something like that for an hour.
So,
hours,
yeah, well,
3 hours.
That's a year from now. I don't even know why I'm worried about
maybe
that.
Like 6 hours.
But, yeah, just so you guys know, we're not going to be, you're not going to be able to get a podcast from us. You know, anything like that after next week.
Saves room on your iPods and stuff. So.
Yeah, there you go. There you go. You can catch up on the old ones and stuff like that. So that's kind of what's been going on here, like the last couple of weeks, last month. I don't know. It's been a real blur, I have to say. But we've been doing stuff here and there. We went out yesterday. We went to the Fenton House yesterday.
The Fenton Hotel.
I always call it the Fenton House because it seems like it's easier to say that than.
Yeah,
I have a lazy tongue, so especially today, if you can't hear it, it's like. Hey, guys, this is Dan. Guess the tongue. I mean,
we need jolt for the tongue.
I'm drinking coffee right now. I'm trying to perk up.
It'll wake up.
We did some work at the Fenton Hotel yesterday.
Yeah.
And some weird things happened, I have to say. When a couple of strange things happened. I don't think we have enough time to go into the whole story of. What went down, but we did, I guess what you'd call a channeling session,
is
that correct, Tom?
Yeah.
With Joan St. John, friend of ours, friend of a lot of us, actually. And she told us kind of what was going on in the Fenton Hotel.
Right.
And it's quite dramatic when you think about it, because she's like, look, this place isn't going to be around much longer. As far as the, you know, it's a three-level build, actually it's four, it has a basement too, but it's a three-story building, and basically, from what we understand, what we're being told by Joan is that this thing is not going to be around much longer. The floors are just going to collapse. And if you walk around
up there, won't be safe to be up there.
No, right. It won't be.
going up the stairs, I can understand why.
Right.
The stairs are a wreck, man. The stairs are a wreck.
But we were all safe. We were all safe.
Yeah, yeah. But the floor, if you walk around there, you can see. I mean, it really has. Because that's what I was saying yesterday. As the first time I think we were actually there was Halloween of 2005 with Grimstone.
Yes.
And I look around there now, and it's just like the ceilings are gone almost. All you have there is wood, the beams, you know, kind of above you. And then tar. That's all you really have above you now.
Is there anything you can do to stop the decay? I mean, what if some folks said, you know what, we volunteer. We'll go
I imagine
board up windows, whatever, we'll put plastic. What do we have to do to volunteer to
I imagine
help
if you go
slow
in there,
down the decay?
Well, yeah, I imagine if you go in there and physically, like, you know, restore the place, yeah, it's going to look
pretty
good.
Well, I mean something short of that, because that would be expensive. I mean something, a volunteer effort could.
Oh yeah. Well, what Joan said though is that a lot of the reason that the place is going, and it really, I have to agree, it has gotten three times as worse over the last year.
Right.
From the first time I was there to like this time, it has gotten really bad, and she says that's a result of that one of the rooms, mm-hmm. on the third level. Is literally it's a vortex of some sorts, you know. And this isn't coming from my mouth. This is coming from
a portal vortex.
Well, yeah, it's a vortex. The room itself is a vortex, but the corner of the room, particular corner of this room, is a portal. And the reason that the place is falling apart so bad now is because all this negative energy is pouring out of this thing. There are some type of demonic forces, she says, that are coming from this entrance or this exit, whatever you want to call it, and that affects the physical world, and it makes it you know, bad things happen, like, you know, everything starts to rot away, the place starts falling apart. So that's, she says, is the reason the place is in such bad shape now too. I mean, of course, that can be argued all day long, because
right.
You know, it's like, look, this place is like. There's no heat in here. There's no environmental controls in here. The windows are, you know, you might as well not even have windows on the, you know, in the holes you put them in, because there's it's still cold up here. There's nothing going on, right? So, you know, most likely it's because the place has just not been taken care of, right? But that's kind of what she was telling us yesterday concerning the Fenton Hotel, the upper levels that we've talked about numerous times in the show here. So we're going to keep an eye on it.
Soon those will be inaccessible just because it'll be unsafe and sad. But, you know,
unfortunately, it may have been our last time there. It may have been our last time there yesterday.
Joan does, yeah, I think she had said something about not going back.
Well,
I don't know.
Yeah, she's like, I'm not coming back here. I'm done after today.
Yeah.
You know, and I, you know, if it gets to the point where, yeah, it's going to be a physical risk to go there.
Right.
At risk of getting crushed by a couple hundred thousand pounds of, you know, wood and steel. I don't want to deal with that.
Right.
You know, so I'll go somewhere else.
But I have to say, as far as a haunted hotel goes, or a haunted restaurant goes, it's a fantastic place. And, of course, the main floor is not only still safe, it is gorgeous. They have renovated the main floor, you know, the floor that people go to, not, you know, not ghost hunting.
Yeah, yeah.
But you go there, you know, for they have, like, an attached bar lounge kind of area, and then they've got the restaurant area, and the food is phenomenal.
Oh, yeah, we enjoyed a fine meal again there yesterday.
the gals and the guys who work there are just insanely cool and friendly,
yeah.
And
mm-hmm.
efficient and fast, and they're just it's an amazing,
yeah, it's a beautiful place to
restaurant go. And bar slash lounge kind of area. It's
It's very nice.
Did you hear something?
Yeah, a train. It's a train.
Didn't you do that?
Yeah. I manifested that sound.
Oh, thank you.
What I was going to say is that it's hilarious when we go there and do work at this place, especially on the weekends, because, you know, this is a kind of an upscale place.
It's a really nice
restaurant.
Really nice.
Slash bar. And, you know, you have all of us people in our sweatpants and T-shirts and in our jackets, and we got flashlights hanging off our sidearms, and we got snow caps on and all this stuff, and our hair's all scraggly because we've been kind of running around in the dark for the last 3 or 4 hours. And we come down there, these people at the bar are, like, dressed perfectly, drinking their martinis, enjoying themselves.
Right.
And we come blown, because we have to go to get to the bathroom.
You have to go through the bar lounge.
You have to go through the bar lounge.
Yeah.
So these people always give us funny looks when we go through there. What do you tell them? Well, we're ghost hunters.
We're working up there.
Now you're stuck downstairs all night trying to answer questions to people. So.
Right, but you do have an opportunity. I mean, if you just go there for a nice meal and a drink or a, you know, a relaxing soda in the lounge area, and you do have chances of running into ghosts.
Yeah, a lot of people have stories there. There's a lot of stories
floating about the place. I'd say if you were, you know, while it's going to be rarer and rarer to have access to the upper levels,
mm-hmm.
The main floor is just equally as haunted. And if you go there, you really do have an opportunity to, while you're eating, you could see something and experience something you never know.
Yeah, it's an amazing place, and we love going there. And I'd like to go there, even if we can't go to the upper levels now.
I would go there for a meal and hang out and to laugh and talk with the bar staff and
mm-hmm.
the wait staff, because mm-hmm. It is an amazing building. It's an amazing place.
Oh, yeah.
And it has stories, and I just love it. And it really is haunted, I think, mm-hmm. and you have the opportunity to
experience.
And that's my favorite thing.
Public haunts.
Public haunts,
exactly. Why don't we take a quick break?
and get our special surprise guests on.
This is Ghostly Talk. I'm Scott L.
I'm Doug. And that's Tom.
That's Tom
over there.
I'm busy chatting.
Looking like a deer in headlights.
He's like, and what do I do?
Go to break.
We'll be right back.
For more information, visit ghostlytalk.com.
This is Scott L.
And this is Doug.
This is Ron.
This is John.
And we are all kind of part of this thing we do every month here on Ghostly Talk entitled The Discussion on the Recreation of the Philadelphia Experiment, being hosted, I should say, not by Doug and myself, but by Dr. Ron Millione and John Hutchison.
And what we do is we talk about their experimentation in recreating the Philadelphia Experiment, how exciting it is and how the issues and the problems and the fun and the dreams and the hopes to capture it as a documentary for the whole world to see.
You think 1943 was exciting? You think 1943 was the melting point of physics where people disappeared and the government said it never happened? You haven't seen anything yet. Wait till what we're going to recreate in 2007.
Hollywood, get ready for the biggest and greatest show of your life with Ron and John that will make your hair stand up on end and fly out of your seat.
For more information and for the schedule to hear John and Ron, visit www.ghostlytalk.com.
And if nothing else works, just bring the blowtorch and duct tape.
Brand new day.
Hi, this is Pamela Heath, author of Suicide, What Really Happens in the Afterlife. My website is www.pamelaheath.com, and you're listening to Ghostly Talk.
Ghostly Talk with your hosts Doug and Scott L.
That's right. I want to say surprise, surprise, surprise. That's probably like because I'm old, but
yeah.
Do you recognize that?
Yes, I know
Jim
exactly.
Jim Davers.
Oh yeah. Gomer Pyle.
Gomer Pyle.
I would have never recognized that in a million years.
Surprise.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah. That's Gomer Pyle.
We have the pleasure. I think Ron actually is going for the record on most visits to Ghostly Talk now. I actually think he's locked it in.
I think he's got it.
But Ron decided to join us. Ron Millione from Taps, Dr. Ron Millione from Taps, said, "Hey, I got some announcements. So I was wondering if you guys had some spare time this weekend to talk." I'm like, "Heck yeah, always for you, Ron." So that's cool. Also, on top of that, we're being joined.
Oh, thanks.
Yeah, and if you can't hear the commotion in the background, the other end of the line, Brian Harnoy from Taps is also on too. Brian, you there?
I'm here.
Okay. It sounds like there's an extra voice vector behind you. That wouldn't have to be your new baby, would it?
Yeah, it's Mackenzie. She's in my arms right now, and she's sleeping, but she's like waking up every 2 seconds and going, "Ee!" My God.
That is so cool. Congratulations,
Brian.
Thank you.
Awesome.
Thank you very much.
Excellent. Yeah, I.
She's a little motor mouth. That's all she does. She's awake. That's all she does. Make a little squeaky noises. She sounds like a machine gun sometimes.
We'll turn her into a paranormal talk show host eventually.
Yeah, I mean, it sounds like she's got the job already.
She'll be doing good, yeah.
Congratulations again, Brian. It's really cool. We heard about that, and it's really great to hear. Ron, do you want to start?
She said that this is going to be like Mackenzie trips.
Right, Mackenzie trips. That's it.
She's going to take it over in the next 20, 30 years.
That's it. Exactly.
Ron, what's going on here? Now, we kind of talked a little bit on the break, but there's a lot of stuff going on, and you kind of wanted to throw that out, so let's do this thing.
Yeah, oh, okay, great, man. Hello, everybody out there in television land or radio land. we created a new site that's really for, a serious site for your little groups out there. Sometimes, you know, our personal sites get a little carried away, you know, so... When I came up with something called the Paranormal Tools Research Society, and it's an arm of the League of the Paranormal Gentlemen, but this one here is kind of more focused on a lot of other paranormal events that we're going to explore way down in 07 and hopefully down in 08 and continuing.
Mm-hmm.
One example that we're going to launch in 07 is a certification course for an EVP technologist. So
okay.
You can hear it first, an EVP technologist, and it's really going to be structured in two courses, and one course is going to begin with like acoustical sciences. In other words, sound, audio, how it works. Stuff that deals with sound absorption, material. So in other words, a really good background. So as you get more, you just can't just roll in and say, "Oh, I got an EVP." In other words, what we want to try to do is create like kind of an acoustical or kind of an audio 101 background. And then from there, there'll be enough knowledge base to jump into the EVP course itself. And that course there is going to have some really good software applications that'll one is called EVP Maker, which is out of Germany.
Yeah, I have that software on my computer, Ron. I have that software.
And, I got about three or four little applets I designed around for EVP. In other words, you know, kind of like stepping down, audio, stepping it up, doing some spectrum stuff. But EVP Maker is an excellent program. So part of the EVP certification is that we're going to step you through, you know, once you've got these sample files, how it's going to be imported in this program, how to take it apart, you know, what to really look for, how to dissect it, to really make some real sensitive, you know, out of the stuff that the guys out there, you know, capture.
Yeah.
And when you finish these two courses, I mean, there's going to be like a research project, and it's going to be like a final exam. I mean, this is going to be, you know, we're trying to really make this more real structured. I mean, I'm not going to make it an impossible way, like, oh, man, this is too difficult, screw that. But we're going to make it, you know, I don't make it work. Make it fun, but make it interesting, and make you really good, you know, really some really good background on it. And we're going to get it. We're going to get it endorsed by Penn State University, and also I'm working with the prestigious, proud to say this, Oxford University in England.
Really?
They're pretty interested. They're pretty interested in that because they're doing some they're branching with some paranormal professional courses out there. And they're really pleased that, you know, to hear something that we're trying to get this thing off, you know, off the ground. And they're going to review the material, and then they could give us like a continuing education or a CEU certificate from Oxford. So then when a person finishes these two courses, and you can take as long as you want. In other words, it's not going to say, well, you need to do it in 3 months or 4 months. You know, just take your time.
Mm-hmm.
And when it's all done, you know, you'll be actually certified and backed by these two prestigious, you know, universities. So, you know, we're trying to get something, you know, out there to the community as some kind of reference, you know.
Yeah. Well, here's the one thing I want to ask you. I want to ask you this, Ron. When you finish this course, okay, this is something we talked about this weekend, and we all got a good hearty chuckle out of it. When you finish this course, you're not going to be allowed to put doctor in front of your name, right? It's a goofy question. All right? But I just want to make sure that, I mean, first of all, what I want to say is that this course is a really good setup because what it does is it teaches you about sound. Okay, which is number one. Okay, a lot of people
learning about the acoustical properties of sound is the place to start, and this tells you about it.
Exactly.
Yeah, a lot of courses.
Yeah, it's really important. Really important. That's right. And it's really interesting. So you hear about terms mixing, or you talk about different frequency response, and then you know they get all these little called spectrum analyzers and stuff like. You know, cool letter and stuff. There's a lot of stuff that a lot of people overlook. Don't even you know that don't even use some of these tools if they have some of the pro level programs.
Yeah,
EVP Maker is for free. It's an excellent program. Excellent program. It's going to be part of the package. Plus, I'm going to provide like probably another four additional software programs that will help the. Besides EVP Maker, that you could try this one, try number two, number three, number four, and they all complement each other.
I got a question for you. I got a question for you really quick, too, Ron.
Sir.
I want to ask you.
Yes.
That particular program, EVP Maker, I found that program a couple of years ago, right? And I was really excited about this particular piece of software. And I actually contacted the gentleman who wrote the program, right? I never received a response back from him. Have you talked to this gentleman before?
I did have some... recent contact. Tell him that I'm working on. He goes, that'd be great. He says,
yeah. Well, the reason I'm asking is I tried to
get a lot more exposed.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that's the reason I'm asking you is because I was trying to get him to come on the show. I didn't hear back from the guy or anything like that. So maybe we'll work that out later on. What's that?
Did you call around September, October? Because it's Oktoberfest day, and that's why you won't get a response.
This was a long while ago, as a matter of fact.
It was a couple of years ago.
So, I mean, if you got some contact with him now, I'd like to talk to that gentleman. Maybe I'll come in on the show and talk to him about his software, possibly.
Yeah, man. I'll ping him later on, and then I'll give him a heads up, and then I'll try to hook you guys up.
Yeah, cool. Thanks. Appreciate it. Sorry, I was just really curious about that, because I've seen this software before, and it's a very cool piece of software, by the way.
Right.
And I never heard back from the guy. I'm like, oh, darn.
So, I know. Sometimes.
Yeah. Sorry, Ron.
There's tools like that, for example, that, you know, there's a lot of really great groups out there, you know, maybe not aware of it and stuff. So we're trying to, like, eventually bring this out to the public, and then, you know, just, like, basic computer repair, you know, like everyone does. Everyone now has a computer. And then what they did is an organization called Comp, C-O-M-P-T-I-A, out of Chicago. Mm-hmm. And what they did, well, years ago, they said, you know what, let's get some structure to this. Let's make someone certified in computer repair.
And they invented
a program called
A-plus
certification.
Yep, you got
now,
it.
Now, we don't have a large audience where I could go to CompTIA and go, let's make something called EVP Plus. You know,
yeah.
They're looking for worldwide, like maybe 5 million PC technicians out there. We ain't going to have 5 million EVP technologists now. I mean, they'll say, are you guys kidding me? No, maybe you got, maybe 100 specialists out there.
Mm-hmm.
So, but at least I got these universities, at least I got Penn State really excited about it. Oxford's definitely, want to back us up on that. So, at least it gives, give myself and everyone else who wants to go through it, it's great groundwork and it's great reference. So at least we all could talk on the same page because everyone has their own opinion, but at least there's some baseline out. That's what we're trying to do for starting with 07. So, the site, Paranormal Tools, it's going to be a site strictly for, serious work, serious, stuff that people could look at, some stuff on ITC, stuff on, different stuff about EMFs, like really, really good information.
Mm-hmm.
Not have all the, all the hoos out there and stuff, on that. I really don't want them on it. I'm not saying they are. I'm saying I don't want, Bobby Biblio and all these other girls on there. Now, go to my personal page. But this page here, I just want to keep this page for, all the guys out there. I don't care if they're into UFOs, they're into, tracking down Loch Ness and all that stuff.
Uh-huh.
But it's going to have, it's going to be fueled with good information and stuff.
Well, as far as the EVP training,
is
concerned, I think it's pinnacle. And I know from personal experience on this, when we first started doing EVP work here back in like 1847 and stuff like that, that was one thing that I didn't really understand completely was the way audio works. I didn't understand a lot of the terminology. I mean, I've been working around it my whole life, but I didn't really understand the terminology, how screw A fits in the slot B, so to say, how spectrum analysis works. What we use here just to mix the showdown is professional-grade software, and there are so many different tools you can use, especially within Adobe Audition, for example, to analyze audio, to get a mean, to get an idea of what may be normal, what may be not normal. And I think somebody who's just starting out in this field, if they have no really base foundation or idea of how audio behaves, right, or how audio sounds and tones behave, or how they work, I don't think they're going to learn too much. I mean, really, if you want to really excel, I mean, I'm not going to say this is going to make you like a world famous EVP researcher or anything like that either. But I mean, you're going to learn something then, I think,
and it will help you in your ghost hunting.
It'll help you in your ghost hunting.
You will understand the technology behind sound
exactly,
and it sounds like a fantastic thing.
Mm-hmm.
It's almost like you remember my first computer. I have a engineering background.
Mm-hmm.
But when I heard the first computer way back years and years ago, it got these connectors back, and I'm going, well, all right, this is, because I knew about RS-232, or what we call a serial port,
mm-hmm.
and then I had these other type of connectors. And the stuff of today, like people go, well, what's USB, and what is this, what's really what it does? What's FireWire? There's a lot of underlying technology. Did this take it for granted? Well, just plug in your USB cable. Well, what is your USB supposed to?
High-speed
serial bus. Well, how many devices? There's a lot of techniques behind it. So that's what we're trying to do with these courses. Is right. Give them some. And acoustical science is so fascinating. I mean, there's a lot to it. You want to try to reduce false positives. You might say, let's bring it down 3 dB, and people go, "What's a dB? What's a decibel? What is a decibel supposed to stand for?" Well, I don't know. I just know the word dB. So at least this stuff is going to tell you, explain what a decibel does, right?
Mm-hmm.
And what a bell, BEL is, and what's absorption material, reflection material, multipath of acoustic, all this stuff, and it'll help the investigator exactly to at least say, "All right, now I got some real audio track of something here, and everything else was eliminated." So at least they'll have that foundation. Now, of course, all the experienced guys out there, yeah, they might say, well, it might be a good review. But you hit the nail on the head. There's so many people coming into this that they want to really get into it and, you know, and do, and I see it almost every day. There's new groups popping up every day.
Mm-hmm.
There's so much new organizations. So, you know, this is going to be a really growing enterprise. And I said, you know, let's start here and let's see where it goes.
Well, yeah, like I said, I think people need a foundation to learn from, too. Like I said, I made a joke earlier about that, I think it's funny, but I just want to make sure about that, because I think I don't want people taking this course for granted and saying, well, I'm an expert now on everything there is as far as EVP is concerned. I think, like we said a lot of times on the show here, Ron, you know, I think there's a lot of experts in audio, you know, acoustical engineering, acoustical science. I'm sure there's plenty of experts within that field. But even with this course, I think it ain't going to make you an expert on anything, because this stuff is, there's no pattern really to it. It's all very exploratory. So, but I think it'll give you a good idea of how to approach it, which is very important, I think.
Yeah, and if you talk to other groups, if you go to a convention or, you know, conferences, and, you know, people go there to really just sit down and, you know, listen to other, you know, presenters that's been doing it.
Mm-hmm.
At least now the terminology now it could be, now it's, you know, be not misunderstood, at least understood. And, you know, and the audience themselves might say, hey, you know, how about we found this and that? How about, you know, this feedback on it? So maybe make another generation of, oh, you know, the next level of this stuff.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Right, because everyone will,
you know, just.
Everyone will have like a
course
starting
of EMF,
point.
EMF and stuff, you know. There's so much to this stuff.
Yeah, there is, and it really is getting a lot more intense, especially if you work with a guy like Tom.
Talk about intense.
He brings a lot of stuff with him when we go on an investigation. I mean, and the funniest part was yesterday, I'm like, okay, we got to find a way to plug in these laptops. Okay, well, we need an extension cord, and we need a power bar, and we also need one of the... Well, I wish we really had one of those converter things that went from
two prongs the old two prong wiring without the third prong.
Yeah.
He's got like four
of them in his bag.
You know,
huh?
That's right. You know, you guys exactly hit that on the head too. Not for nothing. I mean, there could also be, you know, part of this is a paranormal networking course. In other words, you know, like you just said, two prongs to one to three prongs to two.
Uh-huh.
So now there's a terminology for that, like, you know,
there's
gender
got to be
changer.
A word.
So so there might be some, you know, you know what? And there's a lot of stuff that are going to be using wireless. You know, besides you have audio, video. You know, there's infrared wireless, and there's going to be other wireless technologies in the next couple of years. So, you know, people are going to start. We might have to use next generation of Wi-Fi in some of the investigations. That people are going to have to know about, well, you know, you might have to set up a really, you know, high-speed, you know, local network at an investigation. Well, they say, well, there's no power. Well, there is power. You bring a power generator. I mean, we're going to do that with spook stuff. We got power generators that we're going to bring right out in the middle of the field. You want, you know, we got no way to plug this thing or power this thing up all night to investigate. So, mm-hmm. Yeah, we'll bring a power generator, drop it there, and it'll run for 9 hours. It runs on gas, and then we could supply, you know, 3,000 watts of power. And someone goes, hey, I didn't think about that. But that's also part of maybe this, you know, kind of like networking, paranormal networking course where what happens if you go in the middle of the woods and there's no power? So here's a punch list that you forgot to think about.
Yeah, exactly.
You could bring with you, you know?
Well, I want to see the first version of that.
Yeah.
Because next year I'm off to the middle of the woods. I'm going to be looking for Bigfoot. So I need the first version of, if you have a draft of that list, what to take with you in the middle of the woods, I need it.
I have it.
Oh, good, good.
Tom, is Brian
don't
still...
Don't forget the outhouse.
The outhouse, the portable outhouse.
Is Brian still there, or is Brian just kind of hanging back tonight? Oh, Brian.
I'm still on.
Show is
on. Oh, God. Well, if I could ask Brian, what's going on over there? Is there anything you're working on?
I'm actually tipping up all the Weezy Ron Tripp stuff.
Oh, that's right.
Okay, well,
yes.
From what I understand,
well,
is there any? I think you guys have added another date to that, haven't you? Am I correct?
Yes, we actually added a couple of dates. Which one are you talking about?
I think you guys are going to go to Mansfield, aren't you?
Mansfield.
Is there a Mansfield Repository?
Mass Funeral Work on, right. We don't have a date yet.
Oh, you don't have a date yet. Okay, scratch that. Sorry.
That's something I didn't know about.
No, that's me being dumb. That's me being dumb. I think I messed up on that, but what's going on?
I love it.
All right, my mic's going off again.
I love it, too. I know. Hey, it's the art of communication. Hey,
hey, this is Weezy Ron, Tripp. He's not Ron and just ask Weezy once in a while, Tripp. Just keep me in the loop, brother. I just don't know what the hell's going on.
Okay, well, Ron, get us in the loop here. What's going on?
Yeah, please, Ron. Go ahead.
We're going to do, you know, Lizzie Borden's going to be the first one we're going to do in the Northeast here, right?
Okay,
so, all right. Talk about that. We used on the date and stuff on that.
Yeah, we got Lizzie Borden tough to do. We actually, we're selling tickets right now. I'm actually going through, that's what one of the things I was doing, going through when Ron was talking about his EVP stuff, which is actually pretty good stuff, man. I'll have to talk to him about that later.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, we're doing Lizzie Borden tough. It's going to be the first weekend of February. I think it's like the first, second, third, or fourth, or second, third, fourth, or fifth. I got to get the calendar out here and find that out.
Uh-huh.
But we're doing two nights. It's going to be 20 people per night. And we're going to investigate Lizzie Borden's house, and we're going to have the whole place to ourselves for like 12 hours. We can be there from like 8 o'clock at night till like 8, 9 o'clock in the morning.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, the lady told us, as long as we get out before the maids get in there and clean everything up, we'll be all right.
Cool.
So we're going to be doing that. I mean, 20 people per night, and which makes it really good because that means that we can actually investigate without stepping on everybody's toes.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be just like a regular Weezy Ron trip, you know, get there on Thursday night, you know, Friday morning, do a little lecture, a little autograph session, go on the investigation that night.
Mm-hmm.
Next day, Saturday, do the same thing, a little lecture, a little meet and greet, gathering, hanging out, go out to eat, stuff like that, and do the investigation on Saturday night, and then Sunday we'll find a place where we can go, and with 40 people, which shouldn't be that hard because most restaurants can accommodate 40 people.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to do the whole evidence analysis thing. Whenever you're caught, you can show us and talk about the stories, if you found anything inside the Lizzie Borden's house, and, you know, and then just hang out and chill out and, you know, talk about the findings.
Excellent.
Excellent.
Did you guys have another location you had planned, too?
The one,
Eastern State Penitentiary,
right? Of course, that's...
Yeah, we got Eastern State Penitentiary on February 15th, 16th, 17th, and 18th. That's the same thing as Lizzie Borden's, you know, it's going to be 50 people per night, and actually, I'm writing up all the logistics for that right now.
And then, yeah, you guys have Waverly Hills going also. Yeah, we talked about that a couple weeks ago, I think.
Yeah, yes, we did.
So we got Waverly Hills, Eastern State Penitentiary, the Lizzie Borden House. That's all you guys have for right now, correct?
You want to give them a real shocker of the big one there?
Yeah.
We
want the
shocker.
You mean the West Coast? You mean the West Coast one or what?
Is that the West Coast?
Should we be nice enough to give them a little preview of it?
Yes, yes.
Oh, guys, quit teasing me.
Yeah, get them in. Guys, go do it.
All right, here we go, guys. Get ready for now. You're all sitting down, right?
Uh-huh.
Are we sitting down? Everybody's all nice and cozy? All right.
Yeah.
Actually, Ron actually got this, he got it through, Jim, right? Ron.
Jim from Japan.
Jim got this for us, right?
Yeah.
Well, we're definitely going, but, in May, I don't know the exact dates yet because I haven't figured it out, but in May we're going to be going to Alcatraz.
Alcatraz. Yeah.
Yes.
I didn't know if this is actually going to happen or not, but we're going to definitely go to that one, I think. If you guys would like to have us, we're definitely going to be there for that.
Well,
so there's a lot of stuff going on then, guys. Obviously, there's a lot of stuff going on then. It's going to be totally awesome. And we're going to be joining you guys for a lot of stuff. What's that?
Oh, definitely. We got a few other things still from the works that we can't talk about yet because it's still in the works. We've got to make sure that they go through before we...
Oh yeah.
But we say so, you know. But yeah, it should be a fun year. At least the first 6 months of the year, it should be a blast.
Oh yeah, 2007 is going to be a very busy year for. I know it's going to be a busy year here at Ghostly Talk, and it sounds like it's becoming a very busy year for you guys too. So I'm looking forward to all of it.
Yeah.
I think it's going to be totally great. But guys, we got to go to break. Unfortunately, I want to thank both of you for coming on the show. Though it's always a pleasure to have you guys come on here and talk about, you know, what's going on.
Awesome.
It's totally awesome. Brian, take care. Congratulations
again.
Always
a pleasure, man. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Appreciate it.
And, Ron, we'll talk to you soon. We'll be talking to you on the 19th with John Hutchinson again, too, Ron.
Oh, we're going to disappear again. I can't wait.
Guys, we're going to go to break here. This is Ghostly Talk. I'm Scott.
I'm Doug.
I'm Tom.
We'll be right back.
I'm Ron.
After this.
I'm Brian.